Well, 1 Peter chapter 1, if you would please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. We'll read the first 12 verses tonight. As we get into this book of the Bible, 1 Peter, I've given much prayer as to what to do on Sunday nights, and so far I'm headed this direction. We'll see how far it goes. Just a wonderful book. Really the central theme, the victory over suffering and circumstances. And listen, we live in a dark world. There's stuff out there. And we need to know how to handle all of it. And Peter does a good job of writing and giving some encouragement to the Christians. Peter says here, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now, just as a general introduction, this epistle is a general letter of encouragement to the believers. You notice that Peter, he wrote this to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And so you can look at that area of the map of the world. Some of those are not called by those names today, but you can kind of see the old atlases and things that talk about these countries. And you understand that there is a book of Galatians, right, written to the believers in Galatians by Paul. This includes those people. And then these other areas in Asia and Asia Minor, Peter is writing to these people. And in verse 2, he calls them elect. Now that's like calling them brethren, okay? People who have been saved. And so you understand that he's saying unto them in the end of verse 2, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So these are mainly people that Peter was writing to, encouraging through ministries that were founded under the Apostle Paul. Now, if you go back to Acts and you go through and you can see the relationship of these two men, right? Remember Peter, I don't know how many of you have studied personality types. Okay, a few of you, all right? I, if you will, am a Peter, okay? I fit into that category. They call it a sanguine. I like to tease and call myself a penguin. Okay, right, brother? You said only penguins and Eskimos. I guess I'm a penguin, right? Most people are not pure. Any particular personality types until you've met me, okay? I have about 99.9% sanguine, if you will. But in Bible characters, Peter is a sanguine type personality. Okay. The Apostle Paul is a cleric-type personality. If any of you have ever met Dr. Lassiter, Anybody ever met Dr. Lassiter? Okay, my former boss. All right, Dr. Lassiter is a self-proclaimed cleric. Okay, not cleric, a choleric. All right, personality type. Okay, not the druid sorcerer guy type. Okay, different thing. Anyways, so. Here you, and so if you understand, both of those are dominant personalities, is what I'm trying to say, okay? How many of you know the dominant, subdominants, all that stuff, okay? All right, I didn't want to get into psychology, brother. If you need psychology lesson, go to Brother Burkett. He'll help you out with that. Now, these are both dominant personalities. So in the book of Acts, were there conflicts between Peter and Paul? Yeah, okay, there were some. But thankfully, by the grace of God, they were able to resolve those, were they not? Okay, and that's where we all come in growth in ourselves. You understand? But so basically, we have Peter here, not just writing to people that he had the privilege of ministering to, but people that Paul had the privilege of ministering to, and leading to Christ, and starting churches in these areas of the world. And so I found that an interesting item of interest, okay? And so we need to think about that. The example of persecution that was going on throughout the world was evident. And so Peter says here that he is encouraging them as they're scattered about with this difficulties. He says in verse 6, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." What does that sound like to you? I'll give you a hint. We've been studying it on Wednesday nights, right? It sounds like what James was writing to the people scattered abroad. Now, who was James writing to? Basically the Jews. Who is Peter basically writing to here? Basically the Gentiles. Okay? So you understand that that's what we see here, that both are being encouraged, both knew, being encouraging to these people, both knew the trials that were going on, especially in Rome and in the areas of Rome where people, specifically Christians, were being burned alive to give light in the gardens of the emperor. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Okay? So this is a grave and serious time that these people needed encouragement. So Peter, what does he do? He writes this epistle. He gives them this encouragement that they need. The persecutions were severe. The church was facing a world trial. Okay, they're also referred to as fiery trials in the scriptures. And so, you understand that the Christians were under attack. I had the privilege. I don't know if I've told you this story or not, but one Easter we were able to go to a catacombs area in a city there in Sicily. Where the early Christians actually lived. And you say catacombs are where they put dead bodies. Yes, the Christians lived there so that they wouldn't, you know, they could hide. You know, nobody would want to go look in the catacombs for people, okay, that were alive. That's where you put dead people, okay? So they would actually hide out there and live there. I actually got to preach that Sunday morning from a pulpit that possibly the Apostle Paul had preached from. Pretty cool. I thought it was anyways. As a young preacher boy, that was exciting for me. Now, you know, you understand that so far to this date when this particular book of the Bible was written, many people have already been martyred for the cause of Christ. And the timeline tells us that this was just before Peter himself was crucified upside down. Okay. And you understand that was something that was significant for him. Now, these things are, it's a trying time. It's a difficult time. The persecutions were severe. So these people, both the Jews by the book of James and the Gentiles by the book of 1 Peter here, are being encouraged to endure. Okay, to endure these temptations, to be, as James, remember, says, to go through it with joy. And here in verse 8, we see Peter saying that yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Okay, we can go through those trials. Now, fast forward to 2024, Weird saying that. Okay? I can't believe how fast 2023 went. We do experience some persecution from time to time. And let me just say, folks, I don't know when, why, or how, or anything. Any of the questions that pertain. But I do know and understand that as the day of the Lord draws near, the persecution will increase. For all intents and purposes, we have it pretty easy right now. Don't expect that to be that way all the time. It can change at the drop of a hat, really. The government could go all wacky. It could start really, really putting the hammer down on believers and Christians. And listen, it could be like some of the countries that are dear missionaries. Some of our missionaries, they don't want us, they ask us not to post any of their prayer letters online. We can post them in our church, but they ask us not to post them online for fear of persecution and really for fear of death. You may know of stories or heard of missionaries that have lost their lives on the field. Okay? Because this government or that group or something else didn't want them undermining their agenda. Can I just post on that statement? Coming soon to a theater near you, or a United States near you. It just may be. Now we are blessed, and I don't mind saying this, and don't shout me down. I am blessed. I really am to be in such a great state as Texas. Okay, I mean it. And for all intents and purposes, a lot like where I came from, North Dakota. Okay. We're kindred spirits, 1,100 miles apart. Okay, from one farming farm mentality community to another. All right, even though I know there's a lot of city here, and actually there's more people in about 30 mile radius than in the whole state of North Dakota. So just think of it that way. One of the titles I think North Dakota should have as a slogan is North Dakota. We have more cows than people. That's North Dakota. So where you go outside in the wintertime and you take a breath and your boogers freeze. That's North Dakota. Okay, and that's cold. I just want you to be clear there. Now, Peter is careful through this introduction to help Christians understand that Christ is our central focus. Christ suffered. Therefore, it's okay for us to suffer. Okay, think about that. Our leader, right? Our Savior, our example, suffered for us. Therefore, it's okay for us to suffer for Him. Okay? And you know what? We should count it a joy to do so. Peter wanted to give these dear people the correct mentality of life. This is something I deal with as a father. I want my children to receive correction. I don't want them to fuss and fume and rebel against correction. I want them to receive it. So therefore, with that mindset, right, that philosophy, God wants us to receive suffering. To receive what we're going through, these persecutions, these trials, these fiery trials, if you will, or as James says, these divers temptations, right? Peter says, manifold temptations. We ought to receive them correctly. The initial response of us receiving correction is, right? God wants to break that down in us. Where we receive that correction and that those temptations, those persecutions, those trials with open arms, knowing that our Savior experienced the same for us. And we are glad to go through those things for our Savior in return. We need to change our minds. I love what he says here in verse 7. that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it may be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That ought to be our attitude toward these difficulties. So, let's look at, as we begin here, you guys are listening extremely well. That introduction went faster than I thought it would. Now, let's look at the, first of all, as we get into this introduction here, these first three verses, God's provision. Look at what Peter says. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You understand that God has given us a great gift. What is it? Jehovah Jireh, God my provider. You understand that God is the one who provides all for all. Have you thanked God for his provision for you? Think about this. Here in verse 2, they're called elect. Now, I hope you understand the doctrine of election and all these things that, people talk about. It's not that God went through the history of the world and who would be born and who would be here and said, okay, I choose you, I don't choose you, I choose you, I don't choose. It's not like that. Okay? God in his foreknowledge, he knew which of us would choose him and which of us would not choose him. Therefore, we are the elect. Okay? It's not the other way around. All right? People want to turn that upside down and make it the other way around and say, well, God says not to be a respecter of persons, but yet he is a respecter of persons. Well, no, he's not. Okay? He knew who would choose him. Okay? Remember, I told you many times, and I'll tell it to you until I can't tell you anymore, that has it occurred to you that nothing has occurred to God? Okay, nothing has. None of this is a surprise. And so we understand this thing foreknowledge and God foreordaining a plan. This is set in motion before the world began. Okay, all of this. You say, how is that? Well, listen to these verses. Romans chapter 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom, these people, right, he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Okay? Why? Because God knew that these people would choose him. Therefore, he has a plan, a specific purpose for their life, and it's according to his purpose. Okay? That's how God works. Remember, God is unbound. He is not bound by his creation. Okay? God stands outside of his creation and has everything orchestrating right here in front. There's a few other verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his capital S Spirit. For the Spirit, capital S, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Did you notice that Peter, when he wrote here to these people, he says here, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the capital S Spirit. Who does the work of regeneration in mankind? The Holy Spirit of God. When we get saved, when we trust Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit moves in and sanctifies, seals us, sets us apart for God's use. Why? Because we're bought with a price. What was the price? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Did you notice here in verse 2 that God the Father is mentioned? That God the Spirit is mentioned? Oh, by the way, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. All three are mentioned here in verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 1. So God has given us his provision. He's given us salvation. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God. And God wants us, he did this, and he wants us to succeed. He wants us to be set apart. He wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to be justified. He wants us to be glorified. He wants all of those things for us because that's according to his purpose. And God knew all of that was going to take place before the world began. He knew all of it was going to be that way, and including the difficulties, the sufferings, the trials, the temptations, the things that we're going to go through, all included. And he says, count it joy. Count it a glory. Count it these things because they're precious to God. They should be precious to us. Second Timothy, Paul says to his son in the faith, I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Paul encourages Timothy the same way. He says, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Here Peter is encouraging these same Gentiles, according to the grace of God, he says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. God is our provider. He's provided us with salvation. He's provided us with the Word of God. He's provided us with the Holy Spirit. He's provided us with his grace. As Dr. Smith likes to say, grace upon grace. We understand. Remember, we just went over that in James, didn't we? He giveth more grace. He's given us peace. And you know what? We ought to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, thanking God for his provision. God gives us the opportunity to go through persecution so we can adapt the right attitude for service. depending upon God for everything. We can be in the right position for service, being broken and humble before God. We could be in the right place for service, being where we're supposed to be, right smack in the right perfect will of God. It's kind of funny for a North Dakota farm boy to end up as a preacher in Texas. Amen. Kind of funny for California folk to come on all the way over here. Amen. I knew you'd say that, Brother David. I knew it. But you know what? Yeah. What am I doing down here? Why do I go through the awful heat of this summertime? It's terrible. Amen. I got one amen. Yeah. I can enjoy the coolness of the winter.
Yes.
It's not cold. But you know what? God's going to put it, God provided for us to be here. Soon, in a few months, I can now, I'll be able to say 12 of my 13 children were born here in Texas. That's a pretty good ratio. I only have one communist in my family. Well, two. Yes, Jerry, I know you were born in Illinois also. Yes, thank you for that correction. I meant that by, of my children. I have, you know, one communist, liberal, Anna, and then all the rest of them are, you know, true red-blooded Republican Americans, okay? Et cetera. Come on, Brother Frankie, where you at? the great communist state of Illinois. I know this is going across all the airwaves, and there you go. Now, but where was I going with that? Oh, God's will, His provision. God's provided us. Unless you all have your own stories. We've got one from Brazil, one from Peru, right? One from the reservation of the Choctaw Nation over here. We got some of them. All from, we have people from California, people from Abilene. I just wanted to see Brother Alex's response there. We got people from all over the place. Has God provided for you? Oh, so much, right? More than we can even probably rehearse. But can I say, you know, we talk about all those things, but has God provided some trials and temptations in your life? Hey, Brother Frankie, I know this is real for you right now. Difficult trial. Rejoice. Joy in these manifold temptations. These diverse temptations, as James says. That's hard, isn't it, brother? Yeah. But it's real. Can I tell you something? That's God's provision for you. You say, you are one whacked out pastor. I know, isn't it great? So how can you say that in these difficult times? It's Bible. It's God's provision for us. God has given us the opportunity to go through these things, to be put in these places and these things for His purpose. Titus chapter 1, Paul writes again, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect. Here's that word again. God's elect. And the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, I love this, this is one of my favorite passages, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Folks, this is all, it's not about us. He knew all of this was going to take place and transpire before anything even started. All of it. He said, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. One other reference as far as things before the foundation of the world. In Revelation 3, when they're talking about the Lamb, it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose names are not written in the life in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Isn't that an interesting thing? You understand that God has given us His provision. As Peter writes, he says, to an inheritance in verse 4, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Folks, that's our lively hope. That's our salvation. It's eternal life. It's everlasting life. And guess what? It is the salvation of our God. It's not man's salvation. It is God's salvation. God is the author of salvation. Man is not the author of salvation. Religion is not the author of salvation. This is not something that mankind could conjure up. This is something that God ordained. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. God sent His Son because He loved the world. Remember, we love Him because He first loved us. And He sent His only begotten Son to be the propitiation, the scapegoat, the sacrifice, the payment for our sin. God sent His Son by the sprinkling of His blood. And he did that for us. It's His provision and it's His salvation. The origin of our salvation is through God the Father. The purchaser of our salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. The price of our salvation is His death on the cross. The merit of our salvation is His abundant mercy. The mark of our salvation is the new birth in Jesus Christ. The assurance of our salvation is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The reward of our salvation is heaven. And the sureness of our eternal salvation is the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. It's God's. It's not mine. It's not my salvation, it's God's salvation for me. It's a gift. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He said, I love verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. Hey, aren't you glad that we're not keeping our own salvation? Because I'd have lost it a long time ago with everything else that I've lost. I lose things all the time. It's terrible. Anyways. I lose my train of thought all the time. It's not a very big train. It's small. Now, that was a good joke. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, and it's ready. It's ready to be revealed at the last time. Folks, I just hope to, as we get through the introduction here and understand these things, that God has given us His provision, He's given us His salvation, but it's by the strength of God all these things exist. Peter's very clear to help the believers understand, it's not by our might. It's not by our power. It's by His strength. It's by His power and His might, saith the Lord. We'll talk about this more next Sunday morning. But one of the points that I revealed to you would be coming up was that we ought to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine. Yeah. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. You understand that it's through the strength of God that these things are bearable. These manifold temptations, these fiery trials, these difficulties that come in life, these persecutions, that if you will, they're unwarranted. They're not necessarily because we did something wrong. They're only bearable because of the strength and the power of God. You understand that sorrow and persecution are only for a season. And they're not for our detriment, they're for our benefit. They're precious. We should count them all joy. We should greatly rejoice. Though in verse 6, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Why? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found. I love that phrase. Might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You understand that this tempering process is for our benefit. And it's the strength of God that pulls us through. You know, I don't know, Brother Adam could help us with this. But the tempering process of metal and the purifying process of metal and the metalworking industry or idea of it, that metal, that steel goes through a process. And if it goes through that process correctly, it comes out of that process correctly. If it goes through that process incorrectly, then it yields cracks and faults and breakage and destruction. But if it comes through it correctly, it can withstand some pretty difficult things. Why? Because it went through the fire. Why? Because it went through the tempering process. Why? Because it went through the thermal cycling. And I could throw out all these cool terms. And you say, how can you do that? Because I've watched Forged in Fire. I don't know how it all works, but I know those terms. Amen? And the grain of the metal is a fine grain instead of a coarse grain. And it doesn't have these stress fractures. And see, I can throw out a bunch of things that I don't know anything about. Just 'cause I know. There you go. No, but you know what? It results in a product that can bring praise and glory and honor to Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know what? I want to be a knife or a sword or a tool that can go through those fires to better serve my Master. I don't want to be a tool that breaks during the trying times and periods of life. I want to be one that he looks down in that toolbox and he grabs it and says, you know what? I know this hammer will hammer something. I know this will drive in a nail and won't break. I know this will cut through and not get dull. I know that this will be the tool that I can use. And sure, the blows may be hard and it may hurt and it may have some difficulty, but it'll make it through. Unto the honor and the glory and the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter is trying to prepare these Christians for what's in the times ahead. We need to be prepared for what may be. My wife and I have had some conversations, and maybe you've had the same conversations. Well, what's it going to be like for our children in the years to come? Because I read this book. I really do. I don't just pretend. Okay, I didn't watch it on TV. All right, I do know these terms, again, what they mean. But you know, I read this book. The generations to come, I look at my little girls and what they may have to go through. And sure, it's a difficult thing to think about. But not only does this book tell us about those things to come, it tells us the purpose of them. And it's according to His purpose. And it's precious. And it's valuable. We shouldn't be discouraged by it. We shouldn't be anxious for it. We should embrace it. Peter's trying to help these people embrace what they're going to come up against, what their kids are going to come up against, what their grandkids are going to come up against, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Don't fret of what might be in the future. Be ready to embrace it. Grab hold of it. It's precious. And you know what? Whatever we're going to go through, God already knows. He promised in Scripture that He would not give us more than we could bear. He's also given us the example that His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, went through all of those like we would. He knows our infirmities. He knows what we're going to go through. He knows all these experiences. And He's right by our side, cheering us on, encouraging us, giving us these things for our benefit. Well, As we focus on this introduction and these introductory thoughts, we need to remember that God's provision, God's salvation, and God's strength are ours for His glory. We can run the race with patience. We can finish our course and keep the faith with the confidence and joy that's set before us.